Welcome to the Declarations of War podcast. This is episode 73. Your host for this evening, myself, Alexei Card, my faithful co-host, Ninja Turtle.
Hello.
And our very special guest, Noisy of Noisy Gamer Blog.
Hello.
It's going to be a good cast. Unfortunately, Allie is not with us. She could not make it today, but we are forging ahead with a guest that I've wanted to bring to you guys for a very long time. Noisy is one of my favorite bloggers, which is saying something because I usually don't care for a lot of them. But he has nosed his way into my heart. Time for some shout-outs. I want to give a shout-out to Adam Ponophobia Cogswell, who runs the Trinity Force podcast. He occasionally listens to our show, and he took the time to teach me some basic audio editing. So I want to give him a big thanks. And I also want to give a big thanks to Ninja Turtle, who, despite being my co-host for literally years, has not done this yet. Big help, buddy. Thank you.
I don't know. You've always been busy and shit. Whatever. All right. I'd like to give a shout out to every economics class ever that teaches you how to build up worth for yourself. Don't give away your trade secrets. I want to give a shout out. I don't know. I don't really have a shout out, to be honest. I just want to make it to FanFest. It's a chance that we might not be able to go. So,
shout out to the Icelandic Airport Union. If any of you may be listening, please put it down for a second so my friend can get back.
Get back, not even get back, get there, period. I'm looking at not even leaving the States at this point.
Oh, jeez.
Which is better than getting stuck over there, to be perfectly honest. Yeah, missing finals, not having a job,
Well, on the other hand, you've got Gazers in the Blue Lagoon.
It's true. Dance for nickels to pay for the money to get in shit.
Just sleep in the Blue Lagoon, never leave, pay once. Can submerge yourself with a straw so you can breathe. Just sleep under the water. You'll be fine. Alright, Noisy, do you have any shout-outs?
Sure. Yeah, let's give a shout-out to Sugar Kyle and DJ Funky Bacon for their run trying to represent LOSEC in the CSM elections. And also, let's give a shout-out to Dirk McGurk for his latest article on EVE News 24 about the history of Plex in combating RMT.
All right. Speaking of the elections, we had a poll. Have you voted for CSM9? 34 replied. 94% have voted for the CSM or were about to. Who are the two motherfuckers in my audience that voted no? This is a softball poll. Come on! What the hell?
It doesn't sound like it was a scientific poll, I'm sorry.
No, it's very scientific, they're just wrong.
I didn't vote this year.
What? Really?
Yeah, just to piss you off.
Oh,
asshole.
God. All incorrect votes will be sent to the abandoned mining chef outside of town until their vote is correct. I want to give an extra shout out to our sponsor, Eve Time Code. Buy 14 Eve Time Codes, get one free. EveTimeCode.com, where your business counts. Everybody, make sure you say hi to Diana at FanFest. Believe me, you won't be able to miss her. She'll be where the party is. All right. So, Noisy.
Yes.
I've been waiting to have you on this podcast for forever. We've never been able to get our schedules aligned, so I really want to appreciate you being here. Why don't you tell the audience a bit about your EVE background? Let's start with why you started playing.
Okay. I started playing. I first heard about EVE Online from a podcast called Shut Up, We're Talking. And they talked a little bit about it. And then there was an EVE player who didn't really think that they knew what they were talking about. And he got on the next podcast and he started talking. And his name was Kurath Kadachi.
Friend of the show.
So he started talking and informing them about what was actually going on. And then after that, because that was about the time of the Bob disbanding. So from there, I wound up going to EVE Radio, something called EVE Radio, and I listened to a guy named DJ Funky Bacon interview Diana Bollock and a guy named the Mitanni. And from there, then I found out that there was a group called Eve University that actually taught you how to play the game. And after hearing all of that, I had to play. So I started in August of 2009, I want to say. And I...
So you were a relatively... Oh, this is... We'll move on with your personal story in a second, but you were a relatively young player during the Summer of Rage then.
Yeah, I'd been around for like 2 years, I think, yeah.
How was that whole thing for you with that kind of perspective? Because I was a player when T20 happened, before there was a CSM. So, you know, what was it like for you having, you know, really just started to come into your own in terms of Eve and seeing that kind of upheaval?
I was looking at it, and it was like, okay, first it was like, okay, why are these people going on? I mean, I understood why people were upset because CCP put out a product that was melting people's motherboards and video cards. I understood the outrage about that. And I understood the outrage about all this talk, and all you got was basically a closet that you could just like walk around in, and you couldn't run, you couldn't jump, you couldn't basically do anything.
You would almost say you were trapped in the closet.
I was just about trapped in the closet, and the graphics weren't very good in the closet either. So yeah,
I looked in the mirror, then I clicked on that mirror, then I zoomed out on my face so I could see my whole body. I tried on some new boots. They looked pretty ugly.
And, well, you had a better experience because the mirror didn't really work for me, so.
Not at all. Wow. Well, you missed on, like, possibly the highlight feature.
Yeah, so I had a skewed perspective because I missed all the good stuff out of out of Incarna, I guess.
Also, little known fact, and Sugar and Funky Bacon can confirm this when they get in, if they get in. It's, the CSM were allowed to open the door, by the way. It's very exciting.
Oh. So, is it... Well, I would ask you what's behind the door, but I'm sure it's NDA'd, and I don't want to get you in trouble.
It's beyond your wildest fantasy. There are really no words.
That's the keys to the super carrier that all CSMs get, right?
Super carrier, how pedestrian. We call it the Ultra Mothership. But there's really only one of them, so we have to take turns. So, you know, there's like 14 people in the council. You don't actually get a whole lot of time with it. It's more about what you do with the time you have. You know what I'm talking about.
Furiously jack it.
Let's just say I'm glad the interior can be power washed safely.
Oh.
Moving on. So what do you do in the game as a profession? I know what you do outside the game. We'll get to that in a second.
Currently what I do is I hang around LoSAC, and I hang around the edge of the Minmatar war zone. I do some ice mining. I do some courier missions to get LP. I do some manufacturing. I do some belt mining. I do exploration. I occasionally find something at an ore site that is worth risking my ship to get. And basically, and I sell it. I sell my products at a LoSAC trade hub that Sugar Kyle has established.
So you're one of the 10 LoSAC miners in the game. And furthermore, you build out in LoSAC.
Yeah, it's getting harder. The more active I get and serious I get, I'm finding that I can't mine enough trit and enough pyrite. So I'm actually having to go back to HiSec and do that kind of mining, and it kind of sucks.
Is it... Like, what are the finances like on that? Is it a sustainable thing, or do you do something else on the side to augment?
Well, since I don't lose any ships, it's pretty sustainable. My needs aren't that great because I don't PvP. I don't fire off that many fireworks from my ship, because basically that's all I'm armed with is fireworks, except for the hound that I have fly around with my procure. But yeah, I don't use up very much ammo, and so my and then any ammo that I do use, I manufacture it, so I don't have to pay ISK for it. I'm just paying my time to mine the stuff and make his stuff. So yeah, I.
Wow, cool. But of course, you're not really famous for mining rocks in Lovesec, are you?
Well, with a couple people at CCP, I am, but.
That's oh, really?
Yeah. When if you've heard the story about Sugar Kyle talking to Masterplan, and making her pitch for the return of 110 and 210 sites returning to Lovesec, I actually got invited into that conversation by Masterplan. He wanted to talk to me because he'd read the blog and saw that I was like, you know, I had made the jump into Lovesec, and he was actually kind of like. Intrigued by it. So there's a couple people that know me for Lovesec, but only a couple people. Everybody else knows me for other stuff.
Well, I mainly know you for your blog. Particularly when botting was becoming a really hot topic, you emerged as like the foremost authority, at least in my view, in terms of the civilian community, people that aren't on the CCP security team. And, like, you did, like, hard-hitting stuff where you actually went out and researched. And, you tracked botters, you tracked programs. How did you get into that? And what was it like starting out doing that sort of work?
Well, I started... Well, first, I got interested in it from reading Eve News 24. And they had, back in the day, I think it was Czech... Lion was doing some articles. Baggy High did a couple articles. Riverini did a couple articles. They were doing that whole thing. And then it made its way to the EVE Online forums. And they were actually allowing botter tiers on the EVE Online forums. And so I'm like listening to all this. And then I... went to the EVE University audio library, and I heard the Mitanni when he gave a talk to EVE University, and I heard him complaining about Darius Johnson making him burn spies in order to get tears to get the forum porn, and I figured, hey, you know, forum porn, maybe I could just go and visit some of these forums that the botters are having. And so I started posting some forum porn and some tiers. And while I'm doing that, I'm like learning a whole bunch of stuff. I published that. And eventually I got mentioned by Darius Johnson at FanFest 2012 during his presentation. And that just egged me on to do even more. And then from there, it just took off, you know, just had a life of its own.
So what are your main interests now? Are you still working on botting? Are you moving into other areas? And if you are still working on botting, where do you see that particular problem right now? Are we in a better place than we were when you started?
We are definitely in a better place than when I started. The established programs... I can tell you that Quester, which was a ratting mission bot, that one has recently gone under a paywall, because quite frankly, it was the guy that created it. He was getting bored with the game. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. Every time that CCP does a patch, they basically have to stop what they're doing and recheck their work to make sure that CCP didn't put in some detection stuff, and that will break their bot. And it's not even detection stuff. There's other stuff like the unified inventory that broke bots for like 2 to 3 weeks. So you have a patch, they have to check on it to make sure there's no detection stuff. Sometimes people ignore it, and then you see a ban wave happen. So the increase, yeah, so you see the increase in patches, people are just getting frustrated. Stuff's the big guys are having problems. The smaller guys that aren't very skilled, they're having issues, I believe. And I think that the biggest thing that you can say about botting and how much it's decreased is that when I started playing the game, everybody talked about botting and how botters were like taking all the good the good belts. And now here is Boxer, and it's those people that are doing it. You don't hear that it's the botters taking all the resources. You now hear it's the multi-boxers.
And do you feel like that's a form of botting, or is that legitimate in your mind? Like programs like IS Boxer, because it is a human, but it's also a human augmented so much that he's doing sometimes 20 times the work of one person.
The fact of IS Boxer, and that's a extension for Innerspace. It's actually a demo program for Innerspace to show what Innerspace can do. Using that, if that wasn't built for every single game, if IS Boxer only worked in Eve, it would be banned. Because you can use it in WoW, because you can use it in Guild Wars 2, although using it in Guild Wars 2 will get you banned. But because you can use it in all these other games, it's not considered Eve-specific code, therefore you don't get banned for it. Although it does kind of technically do client manipulation, so you could get banned for it, but they just don't enforce it.
You feel like they should, or is their time better spent on traditional bots?
Well, if you... It depends. The original reason that CCP didn't go after these multi-box boxing programs is that way back in the day, they didn't have the technical ability to detect it. Now they do. But because CCP staff in the past wasn't very careful about following the EULA, they told people, yeah, you can go ahead and use it. And the CCP kind of like, they boxed themselves into a corner saying, yeah, you can use it. I'm not against multi-boxing. I do it myself. But being able to do one mouse click and broadcast to 10 different clients, yeah, that's not really, I don't think that's really should be allowed, but I don't think that you can really stop it either, to tell you the truth. I don't think CCP could stop it.
It'd be sort of hard to enforce unless there was some way they could detect it, but
they can detect it, but then you get into the situation where the guy that developed Innerspace, he used to have a program that would run in World of Warcraft, and it would, if you've heard of Blizzard's Warden program that would like go out and detect bots.
I assure you I have not.
Yeah, so
I don't play no WoW, sir.
Yeah, well, it's kind of famous. So there was a program, it would go out and detect bots that Blizzard had, and then there were programs that would come around and hide the bots. And the guy that created Innerspace, he actually created his bot. He actually created software using the Innerspace that would hide bots from Warden. And it's possible that somebody could take the Innerspace and give it to the multi-boxers to hide their bots. And then you've got You know, do you really want the very few resources that CCP has to try to track that down, or do you want them to track worse things down? And so they've got to prioritize. And I guess that the priority, I'm going to have to say that until the IS Boxer problem really comes to the fore, they've got more bigger priorities.
All right, and I suppose we got to ask how certain changes to the nullsec ratting and that sort of thing were going to impact botting. That was like, what, a year ago, maybe? How did it work out? There were a lot of changes. The ESS has come out. There were some nerfs to anomalies, some changes to have more scrambling rats, things like that. How did that impact the bot game?
I'm not really sure, mostly because I started tracking. I wasn't able to track, you know, did something come from null or did something come from low? Basically, at this point, you don't find too much from looking at the botting forums. For some reason, they think that people are like, looking at the botting forums and, you know, harvesting them for tears and having people laugh at them. So they've kind of like clammed up, and some of the bot developers even delete any mention of bans. So trying to get that information anymore is really hard. So what I've tried to do lately is just try to figure out, you know, how, you know, try to figure out the amounts of ISK that are being RMT'd, the prices that people are charging, and if possible, the prices that people are actually purchasing ISK for outside. That's about as good as I can get. So,
alrighty. Let's have you plug the URL real quick, and then we're going to go on to the rest of the cast. We're going to hope that you stay with us to help comment and lend your expertise on to the other stories that we're going to be talking about.
Oh, sure thing. The URL of the blog is nosygamer.blogspot.com. That's nosygamer.blogspot.com. I go by Noisy Gamer, but the name of the blog is Nosy Gamer, so I confuse everybody.
All right, well, our lead story, and sort of a biggie. I had mentioned in a previous cast that CCP's budget came out, and there was a massive loss reported, and we finally found out what that was. CCP has cut development on World of Darkness completely, and they've chalked up every piece of code, all the man hours, etc., as an official loss. So they're not doing any development with it, not planning to do any development with it. It's completely scrapped, and the staff is gone and all that stuff. This was pretty huge. Turtle, what do you think about that whole mess? Do you miss the World of Darkness? Were we looking forward to it? How do you think this is going to impact game development going forward?
I don't know, dude. I really love vampires and, like, vampires walking around in streets and shit. No, dude, did I miss what? There wasn't a product, like, to miss. It's not like it came out and then they stopped supporting it. Like, it's been this ethereal concept for, like, the last 8 years, eating up resources at CCP. And, yeah, I get that it had super potential, but so does Star Citizen.
Yeah, you mentioned eating up resources. Not a small amount, either. You're looking at, what, $3-4 million a year?
An excessive amount of money to end up writing off every bit of intellectual property that you, you know, created with that money.
Nosy, did you track this on your blog? Did you report on it?
I didn't report on it, but I'm wondering just how much of that World of Darkness development made it into EVE. Because I know that they were developing Carbon, which was supposed to be the engine that ran both World of Darkness and the Incarna. So, and I think also isn't Carbon the didn't they
character editor or creator, character creator?
Yeah, they got the character creator, but also didn't they do some other things with it to put some of that functionality out in space also? Didn't they?
Well, Carbon was a big program, like not program as in like a computer program, a big program within CCP, a big concept. So I'm sure it has a lot of stuff under that umbrella.
Yeah, so it's not a total waste, but with World of Darkness going away, I would guess that anybody that was hoping to see walking in stations be improved and everybody get to go past the door, not just CSM, I think that your odds of getting past that door just went down.
That is a bit of a shame, because walking in stations is just sort of bolted onto the game right now with no real purpose. And it's awkward. It's awkward to be there. I guess it's not really hurting anything, but it's got to be a confusing experience for new players coming in, I would have to think.
You know, if they would, if CCP would go ahead and make it so that you could customize your captain's quarters, you could have a customized one instead of just this generic one that you wind up in. I played EverQuest 2. Having that little house and being able to customize stuff and being able to put your trophies like maybe having a freezer full of corpses, that would be like really cool. That might, you know, if you could have if the Mitanni, for say, let's say, could have a frozen corpse of Sir Maul, yeah, if he could have a frozen corpse of Sir Maul in his captain's quarters, do you think that Mitanni might, you know, log in more just to look at it?
Like a wall mount.
Exactly.
I remember seeing somewhere, I don't know if it was official or not, but there was like concept art for a corpse tube that just had like the corpsified avatars of all the people that you stuck into it, that you got the like the actual in-game corpse for, and you stuck it into this thing and then it would like circulate almost like a lava lamp.
Hey, you know,
I would love that personally. But
I mean, if you could stick stuff like that in, or if you could, like, you know, get a picture of the damsel to put on your wall.
So you could throw darts at it.
Exactly. Or if you could throw darts. If you get a mini game to throw darts at the damsel. You know, there you go. You got an excuse to actually, yeah, you've actually got an excuse to go ahead and go into your captain's quarters.
Yeah. Maybe someday. I don't know how related that. I don't know how related this is compared to some of the things we're going to be talking about later, but it feels like Eve is taking a big leap with this industry revamp that we're going to talk about at the end of the cast. I wonder if that's because they now have resources to fully direct toward the Eve Online world. And I'm, you know, looking back, I'm wondering how much of a distraction internally was World of Darkness really? And also, we welcome Allie to the cast. She has joined us.
Evening.
Because when I was in the CSM, I don't know, we never really looked at it like that. But there were other concerns. And obviously, World of Darkness isn't in the CSM's purview necessarily anyway. So we didn't really have access to any of that kind of information. But looking at it now, and now that it's gone, looking at the kind of expansion that's coming this summer, it does raise some questions. I don't know if Allie has any insight here or opinion, or if that's NDA'd, but
I don't really, yeah, I don't really know how much I can say without tripping over the NDA, so this is one of the ones that I'm likely to play closer to the chest. It's certainly true that as a CSM, one of the things that we have the least input on is sort of where CCP is broadly allocating its resources in terms of allocating more resources to Eve versus Dust versus Valkyrie or something like that. In terms of allocating resources on Eve, we have some help or some input, but the other stuff tends to be more stuff that we get told about rather than stuff that we push. And aside from saying, you know, this area of Eve is an area that needs more focus, I think that's about as it should be. You know, and needs more focus, and that if that area of Eve is the UI, and if part of why it needs focus is CCP has no UI designers, say, which is not a situation they're in right now. But if it were, then I would make that recommendation, knowing full well that it would require hiring additional personnel.
All right. Well, I feel a bit bad about the staff members that got cut from the Atlanta office. And got to know quite a few of those guys over the years, and they're pretty cool dudes. I'm hoping that, you know, most of them do find other positions within the company, or at least find positions more broadly. Because, you know, internet spaceships are internet spaceships, but no one wants to see good people out of work, so. I wish them all the best if they're listening. Moving on to our next piece of news, a bit of in-game news. Hero Coalition has just captured HEAD. HEAD being the gateway to the south, basically, one of the major systems in Ketch. And it's a significant milestone for Hero Coalition, which has struggled in recent weeks, and we've covered that. In particular, Brave Newbies, they've been having a lot of internal problems. But their conquest keeps moving on. And they're actually taking a significant amount of space now. They're not done by any means, but, you know, HEAD is a pretty nice crown jewel. Already there's tons of, like, Twitter is basically alive with, like, oh my god, we're camping HEAD. I can only imagine what Reddit is looking like right now. It's a good time. And I'm happy for him. Very happy for him. HEAD was just, I mean, it's going to be one of those classic systems where fighting is always going to happen. And I think Brave will do a good job stewarding that. Allie, you got any information on this?
Not much more than you do. I keep in touch with Soundmind, who are in Ketch, killing stuff at the moment. And it's, you know, it's the mop-up phase of a Sov War. There's still fighting going on, but not the serious fighting that there had been on that front. There's a lot of grinding, and it, you know, it's one of those things where you just have people who have to stick out the grinding and keep showing up to fleets and get it all done. You know, certainly the Hero Coalition internal stuff kind of came to a head earlier or recently with the release of a bunch of Hero API keys. And a whole bunch of leaking of logs from various different parties. One of their IT director, Dreyliff, was disaffected and quit. You know, torched every single bridge she had on her way out. That's a thing that happens in Eve. You know, at least she didn't disband the Alliance.
Right. Well, I do wish them the best. I hope they get back on their feet. I really liked Brave Newbies. I worry sometimes about how much all this drama is going to impact their culture and their brand. And I don't want to see that happen because it's such a cool concept and a cool corp.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, see you in HEAD, boys. Next up, burn, baby, burn. Jita and Fuego, burn, baby, burn. Woo! It is Burn Jita time. Burn Jita officially announced just a few days ago for a couple hours, actually. It's going to be downtime. The day that we're recording this is when it's going to pop off, and it's going to continue right into Monday, possibly even longer. And I could not be more excited. For those of you who are listening to this cast and this is your first year playing the game, Burn Jita is one of the best annual events we've had for the past 2 years. This is going to be the third one. It's like, it's the must-attend high-sec event, I feel. Basically, what's going to happen is Goonswarm, and their allies in the Clusterfuck Coalition are all going to descend on Jita with fully funded, like, 10,000 ship deep suicide gang fleets, and they are going to pop every hauler, every freighter, every jump freighter, possibly some more stuff, depending on how frisky they feel. Basically, anything that comes through is fair game. You can bet your freighter's not making it through. You can bet your jump freighter's not making it through. Mining ships, transports, haulers, probably tech threes, any kind of mission ship that they find out you've got some bling mods on, that's going to go bye-bye. And it's awesome. So what Gnar traditionally participates. The first year, I believe we decked Goonswarm. Yeah, we did deck Goonswarm. And we decked a few other CFC alliances. We rolled in there. It was us and a few other neutrals in the sense that we didn't really have a prior relationship with them. We blew them, of course. We worked together with them to sort of pool our resources and go blow up some goons. Then for the second year, they kept the date under wraps, and we weren't able to drop a war deck ahead of time. But we were still there, and we were fighting them, like, whenever they would go suspect or criminal, we'd pop them. We'd catch them at safe spots. We'd catch the pods. You know, we'd disrupt their ganks. Anything we could do to sort of fuck with them and get some kill mails. This year, we have a contract. And not only will we be doing what we did last year, hunting down the goons that go flashy, hunting down their pods, trying to, you know, make their ganks unsuccessful by blowing them up before they get their shots off. But we're also getting on the Goonswarm Wars, so we're going to be shooting the people that are shooting them. At least at the time of this recording, means Marmite Collective and Darwin's Lemmings. So that's going to be ironic. I have no idea how it's going to turn out. Burn Jita is one of the most chaotic, crazy events of the year. I mean, there's going to be tornadoes and gank catalysts and thrashers and Brutixes flying all over the place. And you never know when your ship is going to become a target. So this could either go fantastically well, we can get piles and piles of kills, we can pin down some Marmite and Lemmings dudes, and the suicide gang squads will roll through and kill them for us. Or we could be getting blobbed out, or we could be just get our whole fleets wiped by a suicide tornado fleet that lands on top of us. You never know. But one thing's for sure, it's going to be fucking exciting.
So, are you guys going to be... Do you have, like, two contracts? One with, like, goons and one with somebody else? Or is it just one contract?
Two contracts, believe it or not. We've got the shoot the guy shooting Goonswarm contract, and we've also got a per kill contract against goons themselves. So really it's a win-win, as long as everybody dies except us.
Neither employer is seeing this as a conflict of interest.
No, well, they're all going to be in the same spot, you know.
Yeah.
Just not going to leave till there's... Why would we leave the grid if there's still targets around, in other words? There's going to be plenty of fighting to go around. I'm going to keep those fleets going like all freaking day. And we'll be blowing up goons. We'll be disrupting their ganks. We'll be trying to get the people trying to blow up goons and then blow up the goons ourselves. Because those are our kill mails, damn it. And no one's taking them away from us.
So do you know what RVB's doing? Because it's last year, they kind of did what you're going to do this year. They were like... going up against Marmite, and then when goons went suspect, they started whoring in on killmails.
I'm not sure what RUB is doing officially, but they still have that really close relationship with Goonswarm from the Poco thing. So I would be shocked if they're not going to either participate in the gang fleets directly, or like also war deck people that they can go, they can just shoot people with. So yeah, I would not be shocked on that one. And that's about it. And we'll bring that contract wrap up to you on the next cast. We'll let you know how Burn Jita went. Our current contract, which will be wrapping up a few days after Burnjita is expected to be over, is against the CFC Northwest. So we've been shooting Goonswarm for about the past month in 0-0, and now we'll be just be doing it in HiSec too. But we've been basing in Pure Blind, and we've been hitting Fade, Cloud Ring, Declan, occasionally Branch, occasionally Tribute. Basically anywhere that CFC space up there in the upper left of your Dotland map or your Verite map. Just that whole big CFC mess of space. It's been fun. It's been really fun. We've been able to work with a lot of cool alliances like Mordu's Angels, Black Legion, Triumvirate, Vanderlogs, a few other groups out there, a bit smaller. Mildly Intoxicated was up there. And it's been good. A bit of a mix of Black Ops, some Interceptor roaming. We've broken out the Assault Frigates and done some of that. It's been pretty much a little of everything you would have liked. The only thing that we haven't done that I really wish I could do is like bring out a Marauder or something. But it's just too many people out there. The goons are really good at defending their space. And that would just get blobbed to hell. But we even managed to squeeze in a gigantic armor hack fight. We partnered with Black Legion, brought in two logistic ships. We had a third one, but he couldn't make the bridge in time because it was a bit of a panic to get ourselves over there. I was in a Tengu. We had another dude in a frigate doing some tackles for us. And it was just a big-ass hack versus battleship brawl. I think it was maybe 150 versus 400 or 150 versus 300, something like that. And we came out on top. Elo Knight, one of the best FCs in the business, managed to get the fleet out clean. My Tengu was like the last thing pointed, and he called for his whole fleet to jam out the dude that was tackling me, and we all moonwalked out of there. I can't remember exactly all what we killed, but it was quite considerable. And I believe the price that he paid for it was about 10 zealots. And in exchange, we got about at least 46 kills, I would say. At least. With considerable value, obviously. I think it was just under 10 bill. So, awesome fight. Good win. Elo Knight, major hat tip. Be in his fleets any day. So, the turtle damages right now. Again, we have a couple days left. Obviously, we're taking a break for Burnjita because that only happens once a year, and you gotta be there. 307 kills, 38.84 billion, 45 losses, 2.39 billion, total efficiency 94.2%, and tons of fun. This week in Mercs, just have one headline. Suddenly Spaceships, one of the largest LOSEC mercenary alliances, is transitioning to wormhole space, and during said transition, they will be taking a break from doing mercenary work. So it's unclear whether they will, you know, really take to living in wormhole space and just not even consider going back to merking, or if they'll maybe try to become wormhole space mercs like many others before them, and, you know, get into that market. Either way, it's something to watch because these guys really know what they're doing and they've got a lot of money. I mean, their main fleet doctrine is an entire Vindicator blob, for Christ's sakes. So, that's an alliance to keep your eye on, and we'll try to give you any follow-ups and see what they do with their space and whether or not they make that transition from low-sec merc to wormhole merc. Finally, the CSM corner. Main thing we want to talk about is the industry revamp. Now, this is not really an industry cast, so don't expect any great insights. But hopefully between Allie, having worked on it as part of the CSM, and Noisy here, who actually does mine and build things, we can have some kind of intelligent discussion about this. But the TLDR is that, you know, we pose this question, is CCP going to tackle a big project for this expansion? And they have emphatically answered yes. They're going to be doing industry in a big, comprehensive way that's going to touch a lot of the problems related to that feature that have plagued the game for years. They're redoing slots. They're just removing slots entirely, and they're adding in a scaling cost based on demand. They're completely redoing the UI. They're redoing refine rates. They're taking away perfect refine from everywhere, including HiSec. And HiSec will now have inferior refinery capabilities to upgraded 0.0 stations, which is a huge buff that's long overdue. So let's break this down. Allie, I know there's still a lot of blogs to come on this, but of the ones released, what was the process like on this? Who came to who? Was it a long, drawn-out thing? How many rounds of feedback did you guys go through? And is the CSM broadly happy with what's come out so far and what you expect to be coming out in a couple days?
CSM is, I'll sort of go in reverse order. I also kind of want to add that I knew about this when we were recording Declarations of War 66. And so I was biting my tongue incredibly hard during that cast. And the fact that I can say that is a relief. So we have known about this for a while. CCP came to us, and Mina about fell out of his chair. You know, the whole CSM was very excited, because industry is, as you mentioned, one of the big problems. It's an area that hasn't seen a lot of focus recently, or at all. It's an area that could use a lot of work, both UI-wise and mechanically. And CCP is digging in and touching a lot of the different parts of the gameplay. So CCP came to us, CCP talked to us, we had sort of the big expansion preview at the Winter Summit, which is where a lot of the higher level feedback came out. We had a good bunch of discussions there. Once the rest of the blogs come out, I hope the minutes will come out as well, because there were a couple of hours of just us talking about industry. So there hasn't been, it's been a relatively smooth process. There have been areas where we have come to CCP giving feedback, but there haven't been any areas where we've gone to CCP and gone, oh no, you can't do that at all. Which is pretty good. It speaks, I think part of that is because we were involved relatively early, so there wasn't a case where, like, it was one of the things you see sometimes on the CSM is CCP will go off and they'll make a design to solve a problem without having talked to the CSM about the problem yet. And sometimes you end up in a situation where CCP and CSM both think the problem is different things. And it's easy to say, can you tweak these numbers a little bit? It's a lot harder to say the fundamental basis of your thing is wrong. Especially when that's the fundamental basis they've been designing against for the last several weeks.
You are wrong. Just sit there in your wrongness and be wrong.
Yeah, exactly that. It's interesting seeing some of the public reaction, because the initial public reaction was extremely positive. Like, yes, CCP is doing industry. Since then, there's been a lot of concern about nullsec and HiSec balance, and I've sort of started and stopped writing blogs about that, sort of generally around the theme of the way it is right now, HiSec has almost all the advantages over nullsec. It's either the same, or you can do it easier and better in HiSec. HiSec's got it pretty easy right now in terms of especially slot costs. And so in order for there to be any room for either NullSec to be an improvement on that or to come to a similar place to that, in order for slot costs to be something meaningful.
Even passes, HiSec pass to be an improvement.
In order for slot costs to be meaningful, especially since they're removing slots entirely, which I think is a great decision, they're shifting the do you want to build something here from being a completely arbitrary thing to being a cost-based thing. And it's one of those things that you know, they've expanded the ability for people to put down passes in HiSec. I imagine that passes will be an improvement over stations in some ways. So people can use POS to get around that, although then you have to deal with POS, which are another giant sucking hole in sort of EVE Online pleasant gameplay. HiSec is going to have to take some nerfs.
So, Allie, let me ask the question that everyone's favorite forum poster is dying to ask you. How pleased are your NullSec cartel puppet masters at these changes? Are we talking greatest expansion? Wait, are we talking the great expansion or the greatest expansion for NullSec cartels?
Who's paying us right now? Are we getting paid by the NullSec cartels? I forget who my overlords are right now. I thought
they
agreed
change
that
every couple weeks. So.
Yeah, I thought we agreed that I was selling my services to the highest bidder for Norm Mercenary.
You heard that, Dinsdale. Put your money where your mouth is. You can buy possibly the next chairwoman of the CSM. All you have to do is send a large, traceless ISK transfer to a Lexayev card and just add like as many zeros as you can put on that sucker, and we'll have a conversation, you know.
Anyways, I think overall it's going to be good, and I think overall the area that CCP is aiming for and the area that the CSM would like it to be is an area where it is not a completely stupid idea to do production in HiSec or to do production in NullSec. I think we're not going to see the renaissance of NullSec industry until we see a lot more activity and a lot more people living in Null. But at least following the summer expansion, we will have the groundwork necessary for that to happen.
Yep, and for all you HiSec guys that are pulling your hair out, hey, it's all cost-based, so if everyone leaves HiSec and you're the only person producing in there, hey, guess what? You can undercut everybody else. So there you go. Now, Noisy, before we started the cast, you were chilling with Feral up in the lobby talking about how this was going to impact the LoSec industry. Do you want to, like, give your thoughts on this whole revamp in general and then sort of drill down into where LoSec is falling in this?
Yeah, I think I can do a little bit. I don't really want to go into too much detail because I wrote a blog post today telling everybody, wait for all the dev blogs to come out. So I don't want to go into too much, well, at least about HiSec, because I don't really know about HiSec, because I don't really like HiSec, because it freaks me out having that many people around.
Are you the Mitanni? Kidding.
But, I mean, one thing that I think everybody's missing in this is everybody's concentrating on what's going to happen in June or what's going to happen at the end of May when the expansion comes out. I think that this revamp is actually aimed towards when we get to see CCP Seagull's gate, her stargate, and we go off to unexplored space. I think that we have to have these changes in order to make that transition and get that gate and what's on the other side of that gate in order to make that work properly. So I think that this high sec versus null sec is kind of like, you know, nearsighted thinking. And we need to like think what's going to happen in the future and what's going to happen with the game. And I think that's part of the reason why we need to have this. And I bet that when we see what the six new ships that CCP Fozzy mentioned on the pre-FanFest stream today, I think when we find out about those, we're going to find out that those also are going to be useful for when we finally build that gate and go off to unexplored space. So that's where I'm going with this. I don't want to like take sides and say NullSec is, you know, going to, you know, dominate everything and there's going to be nobody left doing high sec industry. I we'll find out more about that when at FanFest and after all the dev blogs come out.
Yeah, so, I would just say this, like everybody's like, oh, this change is going to make me do this. This change is going to make me do that. It's not going to make you do anything. If you don't want to build stuff in NullSec, just don't do it. The whole idea is that there's going to be costs and trade-offs to everything. Right now, when you're doing stuff in high sec, people that like high sec do it in high sec. And then people that just want to do what the most cost-effective thing is are still doing it in high sec, because high sec is all the security and the convenience with none of the costs. And it has tons of capacity. NullSec didn't have the capacity, didn't have the local resources, didn't have... It was very expensive to move things. Not as expensive as I thought reading Minna's blog, but still pretty pricey. If you're talking billions.
Yeah, I went back and forth with Minna on Twitter today, and if the level of taxes is what I think it's going to be, it's almost like the taxes, at least on the product coming from Null to high sec, it's almost like the taxes in high are going to be equal to or greater than the cost of actually moving product from null sec to high.
That really depends on the producing patterns of people in high sec. If they stick with the build everything around Jeta model, then sure. But if you're a clever industrial player and you find a system that people aren't really using and you figure out a way to build there and ship cheaply to whatever destination system, you're going to be able to make a lot of money.
Yeah, and to tell you the truth, I've been playing EVE for almost 5 years now. There's only been one time in my entire career I have not been able to get a manufacturing slot. I hear that people have trouble getting manufacturing slots. I've only had that happen to me one time, and that's when I was doing the tutorial.
Yeah, I do a fair amount of production in Jeta. Well, for somebody that doesn't really do any care bearing at all, but like anytime I have a build slot, it's in Jeta, because you can literally warp to like one of the other half dozen stations in Jeta, and if there is a queue, it's in hours or there's an empty slot. Like, it's not that hard. I never really understood that argument either.
You contrast that with NullSec. I remember when Noir had outposts in NullSec, I was managing the industrial costs and the slots and all that sort of shit. I kept track of it so I could figure out what the price point was. You know, do I move it up a little bit and get more per hour? But, oh, it's not being used as much, so maybe that's not, you know, bringing in as much value. These slots, these invention slots aren't getting touched. I'll make them super low, that kind of thing. And when you're talking about a system, not just a station, an entire system with less than 5 build slots, sometimes less than 3 build slots. Yeah, gets a little crowded.
Yeah.
And we didn't even have a fraction of the population in our constellation that some alliances put in a single system. And our services were backed up for days. Some, in terms of the research, weeks.
Yeah.
Weeks.
I mean, if I want to, in LoSec, if I want to do, if I want to research a blueprint, I'm going to have to wait 15 days just waiting for a slot to open up, and then however long, you know, it takes to research it. And if I'm researching a ship blueprint, I may have to do that twice. So it's going to take me maybe 3 months in order to get a ship blueprint researched to where I want it.
So all this patch is really doing for you, Highsec guys, it's just introducing you to the wonderful concept of opportunity cost. If I build this thing in Jita, I'm going to have to pay X amount of costs. If I move 2 jumps away, I have to haul it 2 jumps, but I'm going to pay that much less. Or I could go out to LoSec and take a risk if I'm that kind of player. If you're not that kind of player, stay in HighSec and shut the fuck up. Nobody cares. Just do your thing. Nobody cares. But this fix is going to help out tons of other places in the game be healthy for normal players that don't really care whether it's HighSec, LoSec, or NullSec. They just want to have meaningful choices. And if they want the security and they don't mind paying, they'll stay in HighSec. If they're really risky, they'll go into LoSec. If they've got connections, they've got good organization, they feel like they can make it happen, they can go out to NullSec and try it there. And maybe they produce locally and build a trade hub. Maybe they try to undercut you in HighSec. Maybe they try to build a LoSec trade hub and like get the best of both worlds. And then maybe that LoSec player comes in and competes with them. All this is stuff that can happen when things are balanced. As they are now, there is no dynamism there. There's no choice. There's no interaction. There's no meaningful gameplay. It's just everybody goes to the same spot to do the same thing. And you, as a player, can continue doing what you've been doing. But now other players that want to, they want to switch it up and they want to actually use real player skill to figure out a way to be better than you at the industry game, they now have a way to do that.
I mean,
if you got a problem with that, you're in the wrong game.
I mean, for those of us in LoSec, and I'm just a small-time manufacturer. I mean, I've only got, 300 million in sales orders out right now. So I'm, really small scale. But there's some people in LoSec that these changes aren't going to help us too much, and they're going to hurt some of us. I realize that mining in LoSec is really lucrative and everybody does it, but the whole nerfing the way that we're going to transport goods if we want to sell our mining product in markets, that's going to hurt. That really is.
It's the thing with that is though, it's a reasonable complaint. Like that's the kind of thing where it's the kind of thing that CCP could address and I think should address. Whereas some of the stuff that I think Alex is reacting to and that I've seen is just almost they changed it, now it sucks.
Oh, it's even more than that. Some players are going, it's different, so I'm going to quit. Or it's different because you want to make me change my game, or you only think your players are a certain type. Like I can go right to the CSM forums and read you page after page of complaints to the effect of CCP is only doing this to cater to a certain subscribers and all the rest of us are going to quit because they're changing us. We're not going to be able to play how we used to play. And my advice is, yeah, you could still play how you just play. It's just now it's going to cost what it should cost to do that. It's still going to be doable. You can still do it. No one is stopping you. No one is taking away manufacturing from HighSec. You'll still be able to produce in all the systems that you can produce in now.
And it should even be competitive.
Okay.
Well, it's a truth of... I'll add this really quick and then go noisy. But, it's a truth of life that people typically care more about the status quo of their actions rather than their actions themselves. Especially once they get used to a certain... return from those actions. So anytime you adjust that status quo, there's always going to be people that are upset. It's true in real life, and in the 10 years I've been playing Eve, it's been true for every expansion that kind of rebalances something like this. And yes, it's a rebalance, has to take away to make up for the things that it gives and put things in balance, and it happens every time.
Yeah, but if you read what Ripper has written and you read what Minna has
I don't care to do
put
that.
Out Yeah, okay. Well,
I read that blog post, so go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you've read what they've written, it comes across pretty clear that there are going to be some markets that NullSec industrialists who are smart are going to be able to come in and basically take over. There's a couple I don't know how many. I don't know if it's a few. I don't know if it's a lot. But high value items, which you know, the transport cost won't make up such a big percentage of the total cost. NullSec will be able to come in and compete with the high-sec industrialists and maybe even win. And these high-sec industrialists are looking at their product and saying, oh my gosh, I'm going to get swamped, and then they're having a fit. And I think that everybody's agreeing that there's some segments of the market that's going to happen. And so I some of the people that are yelling, they know that that's going to happen to them. And so they're going to – they've learned that if you yell loud enough, that maybe you can get something changed before it actually is implemented.
Yeah, good luck with that. Because they're not convincing anybody. It's like if the guys from the New Order were to suddenly – go on a forum posting campaign about how miners should instantly die when you lock them. So that's not going to happen. If you can't convince people that don't automatically agree with you of the logic of your argument, it's not going to go anywhere. I think somebody posted on the forums, if you're having trouble convincing the CSM it's a good idea, CCP is probably not even going to listen to you. And I think that is for the most part true, especially when you've got high-sec guys on the council like Mike Azariah, and you've got industrial dudes like Steve Ronican who are running, and they're not like clamoring to support you. Take that as a sign, maybe, but that would require, you know, self-reflection, reasonable thinking, and patience, which are not really qualities you tend to find in the people that make those kinds of posts.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say that if you're looking for that typical high-sec care bear is afraid to go into low-sec because they know that they will instantly die, you're not going to find them on the CSM. Even, you know, Steve, I wouldn't consider like your typical high-sec care bear because he goes off and he PvPs in low-sec. So he's not your typical, he's not that high-sec care bear type of person. He's an industrialist, and an industrialist that spans the entire game, not just one area of it. So he's not, I wouldn't consider him to be that kind of player. So,
well, there was one such player that did get elected to the ZSM, and then she got thrown off for breaking the NDA, as I recall. And that electoral group has not been heard from since in any meaningful way.
Oh, that was before my time.
It's also, I think, the case that this is a thing that PvP players are very familiar with when CCP goes in and rebalances their favorite ship, and now their favorite ship doesn't work as well. And PvP players often just get a new favorite ship, and it's possible that industrialists, or some industrialists, are not yet hardened to that phenomenon. Because my response, I mean, if you're talking about, like, people cornering the market that someone's in, it's something that I'm sympathetic. I'm like, man, it sucks that you're going to have to redo all your production. But you'll redo all your production in a much better system, and you can still make money and have fun and produce things.
Well, you do raise a good point. This is a system that hasn't been touched in like 10 years. So players have been using it a certain way.
Yeah, and you know, if you rearrange the sandbox, then there are going to be players that aren't going to like the rearrangement, and they're just going to leave. And, you know, those of us that stay behind in the sandbox will say, well, that was kind of stupid, but part of the sandbox mentality is that, well, if you're done playing in the sandbox, you just go get up and leave. And that's how you play in the sandbox.
I mean, those are players that they're going to leave the sandbox because they didn't want to be in the sandbox in the first place. They wanted to be, like, I don't know, on a beach with a lifeguard or something. Like, they're looking for something else, and there's nothing wrong with that. I will not miss them when they're gone, and I firmly believe that CCP will replace them with more customers coming in attracted by the healthier game system that they're building. And who knows, maybe those guys will get over it and come back. You never know. It's possible. But, you know, if there's like a not a Dinsdale type necessarily, because I think he'll stay around just a bitch. But like if there's some forum poster out there that's thinking about posting and I'm going to quit thread, you can. No one's going to care. Everyone who's anyone that has done any serious thinking about this issue understands that the current system is not healthy for the game and is a hindrance to its development. So, taking on a big challenge like this, revamping it, it's a big step, yes. It's going to cause a little bit of economic disruption as people get used to it. But once things settle down, it's going to provide healthy gameplay options and a way for industrial players to compete and interact with each other in a way they didn't have now that's much more compelling, a much more dynamic. So when players come in and they get into this, I think they're going to be much more likely to want to try it, and they're going to be much more likely to be impressed with it and stay. And I think that the game's going to grow off it. It might take a short dip, and even then, I don't think that many people will actually quit, and the people that are saying they're going to quit, I'd be shocked if even a third of them actually will. I'd be shocked if even a quarter of them actually do. So anything that's going to be lost from that is going to be made up many times over by the expansion bump. And if those players are coming in for industrial expansion, and if CCP pulls it off like it looks like they're going to pull it off, I think they'll stay because it's a good system.
Okay, can I ask a question? And that concerns the...
No. Go ahead.
Yeah. It concerns the the reason that some of these people have industrial alts. Some of them are just PvPers and they have the industrial alts. If you're increasing some of the ISK things like the taxes and stuff in high sec, is that going to impact their ability to earn ISK? And then if that impacts their ability to earn ISK, are they going to like not be able to plex their accounts since they'll have less accounts?
Interesting question. A lot of people brought up that fact that a lot of high sec is just alts of people in other places in the game. But I would posit to you this. The reason why 00 players have like incursion alts and have production alts in Empire is because Empire is too good right now. Those players aren't going to unsubscribe those accounts because they're still going to want to make the money. But what they'll probably do is, because they're very, very sensitive to things like ISK per hour, is they will probably figure out what's optimal in the new system and then relocate those accounts there. Maybe it's 00, maybe it's low sec, maybe it shifts over time as that population shift happens, and certain players will be ahead of the curve and certain ones will be behind. But I don't think they're going to cancel accounts because it'll still be lucrative to do. They'll just figure out what the best new way to do it is and then optimize their accounts to do it that way so they make the most out of their time.
It's also true that this is going to affect a broad range of people. So it's not like increased ISK sinks will change the amount of ISK available in the game, which will change prices across the board. It seems like we'll likely see consumer goods getting more expensive, and as the amount of ISK available goes down, Plex prices may be dropping. So I think there's, depending on how expensive stuff gets, there's possibility for badness for new players and possibility for badness as people have to work harder to afford the stuff that they have. But as long as industry is still capable of pulling in an income that's in any way competitive, and that income will be relative to what other people pull in and have to spend, then I think it'll be still healthy.
So, yeah, I'm just like looking at some of the things, and like for me, I don't lose very many ships. I like lost one ship last year. So for me, I don't have a lot of costs involved. So I don't have to like, so I can go ahead and I can putter around and have my little hobby and, you know, have my my little production chain going and my little sales. But for people that are PvPing, because like I know Angry Mustache was complaining that he was face poor out, you know, and he's a member of Goon Swarm, and he's like complaining he's face poor, and he like I think makes more than I do. So it's like you've got stuff like that going on, and I'm just wondering how much it's going to really affect people, and maybe it'll affect the PvPers actually more than the industrialists.
It's quite possible.
It's possible, and we're certainly going to be paying more for ships, but on the other hand, you might have more people selling plexus, so maybe that cost goes down. You're also going to be blowing up ships that are more expensive, and you're going to be looting modules that are more valuable to resell. So, also you're going to have, you know, people that become tycoons off this new system, industrial tycoons in all sorts of space. You know, they're going to have a lot of more money to throw around for PvPers. 00 alliances may incorporate more industrial activities and players into their organizational structure, because having an in-house industrial wing is suddenly extremely desirable. So that may lower costs for PvP players by, you know, maybe the Jita price is higher, but if they could buy it locally for less, of course they would. So it's going to depend on a lot of different factors. There's really no way to know for sure until it actually goes live, because it's such a big thing. But I would guess it'll probably not impact them that negatively for very long. And I want to keep talking about it more, but we do need to wrap up the cast here. I look forward to more posts about this subject from you, Noisy.
Oh, I figured that I'm going to need at least a month or two of playing with the game and playing with the changes to really understand, you know, what the effect is. So you'll probably see some more.
And I definitely, hey, if you want to take a topic request, keep track of botting the new industry UI. Because that'll be something very, very interesting to keep an eye on.
Well, if we can get rid of the whole cash scraping thing that CCP is currently allowing, then maybe that can be cracked down on. But as long as you have the cash scraping, then you're going to really have a tough time getting the botters.
And you'll have the cash scraping as long as you need it for the markets.
Yep. So until Crest gets fully up and running, yeah, you're going to have trouble catching those market botters. You just are.
Well, I'm going to bet that the industrial expansion is pretty good. And if you would like to bet on some stuff, you can go to www.eve-bet.com. It's New Eden's premier betting service. You can bet on EVE stuff, real-life sports, all with ISK. They've handled over 50 trillion in bets since opening. By now, I estimate that to be quite a bit more. But I haven't updated the figure on our show notes here. They've got like EVE tournaments. The Alliance tournament just got announced today. You can bet you're going to be able to place lots of bets on that. They got blackjack, they've got slot machines. The real-life sports odds are all industry standard, and they're constantly adding new sports and esports events every week. That is it for episode 73. Go to declarationsofwar.com to participate in the show poll. Leave a comment. We would really appreciate a donation. Help support the cast. Grab yourself some sweet Declarations of War merch at welovefine.com/eve. You're going to be seeing a lot of people running around FanFest with our shirts. Admire them. Give them compliments. And then when you get home, buy one for yourself so you can be that guy next year. You can reach Noir via our public channel, CafeNoir. Apply to join us or Noir Academy in the forums at noirmarks.com. Programming note, we are looking for corps. So if your corp has an aspiration to be part of Noir Mercenary Group, please contact me. I am very interested to hear from you. Good hunting, listeners.
We've got Texan and Fuego. Ah, you son of a bitch. You son of a goddamn bitch. Texas and Fuego, you goddamn son of a bitch. Damn it. Texas and Fuego. Burn, baby, burn. Texas in Fuego. Burn, baby, burn. Bring around. bastard rats, you stupid, dumb, smelly mooses. Look at them pissing me off.